Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 19. Proverbs in chapter 19. Mother's Day. And I don't know, I struggle sometimes when preparing for certain types of messages and special days and things, but I know that this last week has been preparing for, and of course looking back over notes and things that I've put aside from, and thinking, knowing Mother's Day was coming, and I believe that the message of God would have for us here this morning, and you've heard me say before, sometimes I struggle because you're struggling on whether or not you're going to be here or not. And so when you make those last minute changes, then God has to change my plans as well. And so I don't know. God knows who's going to be here. I don't. And God knows what kind of needs that the people have. I just try to stay sensitive to however God would have me to be used. And but anyway, I believe Proverbs chapter 19 would be the passage of Scripture that we need to preach and present to you this morning. Before we do that, though, just a couple thoughts on mothers. The dictionary definition of mother just says the female parent of a child. However, any mother could tell you that there is much more to it than that. In fact, just about anybody of any age would say that the word mother means much more than that. Poems and songs and books and essays have been composed through the ages by people who tried to express what mothers mean to them. If motherhood came in a can, where we could read the ingredients on the label, it might sound something like this. No one knows the exact ingredients of which it is formulated, but it stands among the mightiest of wonderful, wondrous works that God created. It's love beyond understanding on earth, and there is no other that can compare unto the love within the heart of a mother. Patience and understanding, encouragement and smiles, compassion, hope, and confidence that are felt across the miles, forgiveness and forgetfulness, sweet beyond all measure, are all part of what's in her heart, a love her child will treasure. It's a pain in her heart when her child cries. It's a fear when he faces danger. It's a constant prayer for the yet to be. To intercession, there's no stranger. It's disappointment drowned in forgiveness and dishwater mingled with tears. It's the sleep that listens for a child's cry that only a mother hears. It's hundreds of trips to the doctor and thousands of home-cooked meals. It's countless sleepless nights beside a child with fever and chills. It's piano lessons and ball games and school plays by the score, for which mom, of course, is always chauffeur and still is much, much more. All the diapers and laundry and dishes and fingerprints on the glass, all the muddy footprints tracked across the floors that's just been waxed, all the frogs and worms and sock drawers and the stains that won't come out, all the bruises and the scraped up knees that mom knows all about, all the silent tears and heart cries are counted one by one, and the Lord will not forget them when it's time to hear, "Well done." Probably 1,000 other things known only to God above should be part of the list of ingredients that make up a mother's love. An old-time preacher said, "Raise up a generation of godly mothers, and we can change our world." Little girl asked mom where those two gray hairs came from. Mom said, "When you disobey, that's what happens." Little girl thought for a while, looked up, and said, "Is that why grandma's hair is all gray?" One of my favorites, I think I read it every Mother's Day because I really love this poem. It's "How to Be a Mean Mother." A mean mother never allows candy or sweets to take the place of a well-balanced meal. A mean mother insists on knowing where her children are at all times, who their friends are, and what they do. A mean mother breaks the child labor law by making her children work, washing dishes, making beds, learning to cook and doing other cruel and unpleasant chores. A mean mother makes life miserable for her offspring by insisting that they always tell the truth. A mean mother produces teenagers who are wiser and more sensible. A mean mother can smile with secret delight and pride when she hears her own grandchildren call their parents mean. What the world needs now are more mean mothers and fathers. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 19. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Proverbs chapter 19, two verses. And as most of you know, the book of Proverbs, most of those are antithetical statements. And they have one truth in each verse. Most verses stand alone. And they hit that one truth, that one principle from two different directions. This morning, as we look here in Proverbs chapter 19, we have two verses that go together to present a truth, I believe, concerning what mothers need to hear. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you've already given to us today. What a blessing it has been, first and foremost, by just sensing your presence in this place. Thank you for the great fellowship that we can have as born-again believers, as we assemble ourselves together. Thank you, Lord God, for the worship in this place, the congregational singing, the special music that brings us to the very throne of grace, the very foot of the cross, the presence of God. And now, Father, as we open up your word, the authority that you've given to us for the church, I just pray, God, that you'd help us, give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us and a heart to make an application. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God's counsel. What a blessing it is to believe that there is a God. And what a blessing it is to have faith to know that if there is a God, that God wants to communicate with me. And for some 2,000 years, we've had the completion of the very words that God has preserved for humanity. Had the Old Testament for some 6,000 years, but some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came, he came to fulfill the Old Testament scriptures. And not only did he come to fulfill the Old Testament scriptures, but he came to give us the full revelation of the Word of God. We don't have to rely on a man. We don't have to rely on philosophies. We don't have to rely upon religion. We have the completion of the Word of God that any one of us can look to and find the very work and the will and the person of God revealed. Right here in the scriptures. For some 2,000 years, we've been in this New Testament church age that Jesus Christ established. We're teaching that in our Sunday morning Sunday school. For some 2,000 years, we've had this truth. Jesus told his disciples, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If God wants us to live by every word, then he must have preserved it for us. And that is the counsel that we have today. The counsel from God to humanity. And we find here in the book of Proverbs the truth concerning God's counsel. In verse 20 it says, hear counsel, God's counsel, and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy, each one of us, our latter end. That you might look at how you have applied the counsel, and when it comes to the latter end, when it comes to after you've lived your life, after you've raised your children, see the wisdom in it. That it mayest be wise in the latter end. Sometimes we wonder, is this really going to work? disciplining our children, blinding, closing our ears to the philosophies of the world that want to tell us that it's going to hurt our child if you discipline that child. Tell you that you have to let your child do whatever that child wants to do. Do I listen to the philosophies of the world and to the authors of mankind and telling me how to raise my children? Or do I put my faith and trust in the very words of a God who created man? And the Bible says when we understand the counsel of God and we apply the counsel of God, when it's all said and done with, you'll look back and you'll see the wisdom and listening to the counsel of God. After you've lived your life, if you've lived for God, you'll find the wisdom of that. And then in verse 21, he says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Devices, man's heart. Many devices, and what's it talking about? That devices, it says, it means a plan or a scheme for effecting a purpose. There's many devices, there's many plans or schemes that humanity has conjured up in order to serve a purpose. Man's philosophies on raising children, man's philosophies on marriage, man's philosophy on the home, man's philosophy on church. Many devices, there's many plan or schemes for effecting a purpose, but the Bible says there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Man's devices, man's plans have come and gone. They've changed throughout the ages. They've changed throughout the generations. Every generation, there is a generation who believes there's a better way to have church. In every generation, there's a better way to raise children. There's a better way to have a marital relationship. You don't really have to have marriage. You can just live together. You don't have to do it the way the Bible tells you to do it. There's in every generation, there has been a different philosophy on life. And yet the counsel of God remains the same. And once you've lived it, you look back and you can see the wisdom of God in giving us the counsel. And not only will you be able to see the wisdom of God in giving us the counsel, thank God that you stood by it. Amen. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Can I tell you this morning that Satan is attacking God's counsel for marriage in the home? No doubt about it. I mean, trying to change the laws in this Christian nation concerning what constitutes a family, what constitutes a marriage, putting the government in charge of raising your children, putting the school system in charge of educating your children. Satan's attacking it because it's not based upon the counsel of God. Even in America, we look back in my lifetime, I look back and see the difference when I was in school and what the government stood by. And praise the Lord, having prayer before we started public school every day. Having dress codes in public school. Not being able to have your hair down past your ear. Public school. Not being able to walk around with your shirt tail untucked. Having to wear a belt. Come on. Legalists. You mean I have to wear a belt? I didn't want to wear a belt as a young boy going to school. But it was the principal that would bring me into the office and say, tomorrow, you better wear a belt. Public school system in the United States of America, a Christian nation that said, in God we trust. Come a long way. Not in a right direction. Marriage, the home, and the family come a long way in a wrong direction. It's all because Satan is attacking God's counsel for marriage and the home. I love what Paul writes to Timothy, who is going to be preaching to his church as a young pastor. And he gives us this pastoral epistle in 1 Timothy in chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Write it down. I'll probably go too fast for you. But verse 14, he says this. And he says, I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, and guide the house. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That's how you do it. Obey God's counsel and you take away Satan's ability to bring reproach down on the home. Bring reproach down on the family. Bring reproach down on the marriage. But he says in verse 15, right after that, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So yeah, Satan is attacking God's counsel for marriage in the home. To reject God's counsel is to reject God. All will make their own choice. You've chosen how you have chosen who you've married, or you've chosen to live together. You've chosen how you're going to live as a married couple. You've already chosen how you're going to establish what the rule in your own home. You've already chosen how you're going to raise your children. You've chosen what you're going to allow into your home. What kind of filth on the TV? What kind of magazines? What kind of liquids? What kind of alcohol or not? Or whatever it might be. You're making the choices. And God's allowing us. God has given to us a free will to make those kind of choices. But God's church ought to continue to preach God's counsel.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. The whole purpose of the church is to try to influence you for the cause of Christ. The church is here to help you to understand that God has counsel for us. And every time you come to the church, you're acknowledging that there is a God. And when you come, you're wanting to worship God. And you're wanting to hear a message from God that's going to help you to apply God's counsel to your life. That's the purpose of the true church. We're studying that in Sunday morning Sunday school. The true church, what sets it apart from every other type of church or religious gathering is Christ. The church is referred to in the New Testament as the body. It's the body of Christ. In order for it to be a real church, a church that Jesus established, he has to be the head of the church. That means it has to be his doctrine that's being preached. It has to be his counsel that is being adhered to. We need that today. We need pulpits like this to continue to be on fire, to preach the word of God and not be afraid. Amen. To tell people that this is right and that is wrong. Amen. Not based on my philosophy, not based on what I think, but based on what this Bible says. God has established the home. God has established marriage. God has given to us children. They're a heritage of the Lord. And he has established a right way to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This morning, that was introduction. Introduction might be long. The message will not be that long. But can I, for a few minutes, address the home concerning mothers? Using the counsel of God. Mothers, don't listen to the philosophies of man. Don't listen to the devices. That's what the Bible says. You don't want the devices or a plan or a scheme for effecting a purpose. For you living as a wife and living as a mother and putting priorities that the world puts on you, what you have need of this morning is counsel of God, because that's what'll stand. And once you've lived it, once you've raised your children and you see the results, you'll thank God for the wisdom if you have raised them right. Once you come to the end of your marriage, or one of you go on to glory, I think the Lord's going to take my wife and I home at the same time. Amen. In the rapture is what I'm praying for. When that marriage comes to an end, and when one or the other has been taken, look back over that marital life and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the counsel to live together, to love and honor and respect each other, have the two of us becoming one. There are three basic groups here today. You'll find yourself in at least one, and many will find themselves in two. You won't find yourself in all three. The first that everyone here will find themselves in is that of being children. Because all of us were born into this world. All of us were given to our parents as a heritage from the Lord. And God's will for every child, God does not force it, but His will and His counsel for every child is to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Child cannot determine whether they're being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That comes from the parents, and that parent will give an account. But it's God's will that every child be raised that way. So all of us here are children. Now, or a child. You might be an adult, but you still have a parent. You were still born into this world with a father and a mother. Ephesians in chapter 6, and most are very familiar with this passage of Scripture, and most all parents should be. But the Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That means it's what God established. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise. If you look back in the book of Exodus, you'd find that when God has given the commandments to the nation of Israel, the fifth commandment was to honor their parents. The fifth commandment. Out of the ten that was given to the children of Israel and the Ten Commandments, the fifth one was to honor their parents. It doesn't say to obey, but can't honor without obedience. But here it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. A promise given for honoring. God says, you want my blessings, you want a promise from me. It's very important. I've attached a blessing to this because I want you to understand the importance of doing this. Honor. Honor. God's counsel to children of all ages. Learn of God's will and do it. Learn of God's will. Starting with honoring your parents at every stage of life. When their children are young, parents, they don't understand. You have to instill within them, God wants you to honor me. Throwing a temper tantrum, amen, disobeying me is not honoring me. As they start growing and they start learning what honoring is, they start understanding that I cannot honor you without obeying you, then the parent is there to help that stage in life to honor. And that parent, that child becomes a teenager. It's even more important for that child as a teenager because you're under much more pressure, much more of the pressure of the world. You're under much more of the things that Satan is going to try to use to get you to turn away from God's counsel. And he's going to try to convince every teenager that your parents are against you and they might even call you mean. You're trying to ruin my life. You're trying to choose my friends. Yeah, I am. If you're making bad choices, I'm going to make sure that I'm doing everything to get you to make right choices. I would prefer you making them without me having to make them for you. But if you make bad choices, I'm going to step in. As long as I have the authority to step in, I'm going to step in and make sure that you make right choices. Because God told me to bring you up, raise you according to His will. But can I tell you, even after you have married, left the home, you're no longer under the authority of that parent. But can I tell you that there is no age limit on honoring that parent? And if you want God's blessings, you want God's blessing associated with that, it's important that you honor your parent at all ages. Everyone here has been born into a family. Many here, or some here, might be like myself, where your parents have finished their life on this earth. They've run their race. They're in heaven today. Can I tell you that I am as mindful today as I was as a teenager concerning the need to honor my parents? And there's no doubt in my mind that today I'm honoring my parents by how I'm living my life. Because God worked through my parents to give me life on this earth. He worked through my parents to help instill within me some biblical principles. And my parents are gone now. They're in glory today. But can I tell you that they're rejoicing with the angels over every sinner that gets saved. And they're rejoicing over with the angels over those that are leading souls to Christ and doing the work and the will of God. By me serving God today, I am honoring my parents that are in glory. Even you that might not have been raised in a Christian home. If your parents are gone, they realize more now than ever before how that the counsel of God was wise. If they could, they could come back and they would change how they raised you. They would come back and they would change how they the testimony they had before you. And they would want to raise because they understand now. You see, after we leave this world, we're not confused with, is there a God? Just seconds after death, there's no one that is confused that there's a heaven or a hell. There's no one confused concerning the counsel of God. They understand it. They see it very clearly now. The Bible said the rich man in hell realized where he's at and he didn't want his brothers to come here. How much more with a parent not wanting their child to come to a place like that? They could, they'd come back and they would change. They can't. But you can honor their presence by serving God. You can honor them by your life. There's never a time when a child, no matter what age, should stop honoring their parents. First commandment with promise. First commandment with promise. So thankful. My mom passed away overnight with a heart attack. I didn't know it. No one knew it. I was there the night before. Last words my mom said to me was, "I'm proud of you for serving God." I don't think I remember that. Children, honor her by being the best Christian you can be. Honor your mom. Husbands, Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Verse most Christians know. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God's counsel to every husband here is that you never stop loving your wife. God never stops loving his church. Never stop loving your wife. Not with just lip service, although it's good to verbalize it. Amen. But it's better to show it. Love, that same love that Christ loved the church. The same love that God loved Israel. And the same love that he wanted Israel to love him. Because if you look at the commandments, that's what he tells them. I'm a jealous God. I want you to have no others before me. I want you to always look to me and love me. Jesus broke that commandment down in Matthew and he tells them that this is how you love God with all your heart and your mind, your soul, everything about you. Never stop loving God. When Israel stopped loving God, they looked to Baal or to some of the other false gods in the promised land. And God had to bring judgment and chastisement upon them because they left their first love. And so with that, the Bible says to the husband concerning your wife, the mother of your children, never stop loving her. That means when you're thinking of somebody else, you're not loving your wife. When you're doing something that could put your marriage at risk, when you're doing something that could put your family at risk, you have stopped loving your wife. Just as Israel, they turned away from God and they turned to Baal. And when they turned to Baal, they put their relationship and their task at risk of accomplishing what God told them to do. When your wife's not around, love your wife. Always have her on your mind when Satan throws other things your way. When Satan causes this world to bring something that will attract your eyes, when Satan brings something in this world that will attract your attention, think about how it would put your marriage at risk. Think about how it would put your children at risk. Think about how it puts your family in danger. And say, I love my wife. I love my wife. God's counsel to you, that will stand. And that will you, at the end of your marital life, you'll look back and say, see the wisdom in it. Stay married. Love your wife. Yeah. Counsel to husbands. Learn of Christ, be the best Christian husband that you can be. Counsel to mothers, real brief, Titus chapter 2. Counsel to children, learn of Christ, be the best Christian you can be as a child. Counsel to husbands, look to Christ, learn to be the best Christian, Christ-likeness Christian that you can be as a husband. Mothers, Titus chapter 2. Verse 1 it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. This is God's doctrine for the home and marriage, for raising children. It says much about the home, but I want to focus on verse 4 and 5. It says this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God, it's God's counsel, be not blasphemed. That's the counsel of God. The Baptist church did not just come up with those rules. The Baptist church did not come up with that doctrine. We just preach it. It just preach it. I believe all mothers need to realize the importance of the position that God's given you. Families need godly wives and mothers. So what are you to do? Learn of Christ. Be the best Christian mother that you can be. That's how you're going to keep yourself honorable. How many women have made the wrong choices and afterwards they look back on their children and their children don't respect them, they don't honor them, and they have to come to the conclusion, it's because I was not honorable. Divorcing their father, living outside, putting more emphasis on my work, not raising them, helping to raise them, especially my girls, to be modest, to love their God. And they have to come to the end of their life and they didn't take heed to the counsel of God and they realize, I was not honorable. How many will come to the end of their life and look back and, as a wife and say, I was not lovable. You will not give an account for what your husband does to you. You will not give an account for how your children treat you, but you will give an account for how you raise your children and how you behave yourself as a wife to your husband. You will give an account for what you can control, and you can control you. Every woman here ought to be looking to God and say, God, help me to take heed to your counsel and be as honorable as I can be. Help me to make it as easy as I can make it for my children to honor me. Lord God, help me to do whatever I need to do, and help me to strengthen me to be all that I can be, to be able to be as lovable to my husband as I can be. Because God's counsel to your child is to honor you, and God's counsel to your husband is to love you. Make yourself honorable and make yourself lovable. And you do that by following Christ. Following Christ. It said the beauty of the home is harmony. Harmony in the home is determined much by the wife, the mother. The Bible tells her to keep the home, to guide the home. The beauty of the home is harmony. The security of the home is loyalty. The joy of the home is love. The plenty of the home is children. The rule of the home is service. And the comfort of the home is God Himself. Are we guiding our homes toward God? The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. It's God's counsel, and it's not changed, and it will not change. The world and the philosophies of the world, the devices of a man's heart, they will continue to change, and they will continue to be different in every generation, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. And when it's all over and done with, at the end of your life, you'll look back and you'll see the wisdom in it. Don't look back in regret. Look back in rejoicing over the wisdom you showed in living it, applying it. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church today and for all that have come through the doors of this church. And I pray, God, now that as we have heard the scriptures revealed, I pray that you'd help us each and every one to make whatever application necessary. If there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day they'd be saved. Work in our midst. Maybe today would be the day that they would commit to the counsel of God in every area of their life. Oh, what a blessing that would be. Work in our midst now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.